never rests.
A million colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Good Friday morning to you. It's the Georgia Show presented to you by Dogs HQ on the eve of a big one. The biggest one to date, I guess, which isn't saying much, but it is a big one just in totality. The SEC opener against the Tennessee Vols. Georgia traveling up for a 3:30 matchup in Neyland Stadium. Going to be a very interesting game, Rusty. I think we would both agree on that. Before we get into it, we got to shout out our friends at Modelo. Look, you're sitting in for the game this weekend. You're looking for a little something to calm the nerves before 3:30 hits. Go grab yourself a Modelo, man. Six-pack of cold refreshment. The official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. It's Modelo season. How about them dogs? How about a Modelo? Get over and grab one today. Rusty, like I said, big, big game ahead here. I want to dive right in, man, because it's Friday and people are gearing up for this thing. You know as well as I do, afternoon, nobody is working in Georgia land. They're all got their eyes turned somewhere else. Everybody's reading.
Start off great by saying Modelo right off the bat.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody here at 9:40 was like, you know what? A Modelo does sound good right now. So everybody getting ready for the weekend, and it will be a big one. Georgia facing Tennessee, a very interesting matchup in my opinion, Rusty. I think that this is an atypical Georgia-Tennessee matchup. This is a little bit later or a little bit earlier in the season than we're used to seeing this as a home or as an SEC opener, a bit unique in that respect as well. And two teams, quite frankly, Rusty, that I don't know that we know quite a lot about. I think that both of these teams, I said this the other day on the board, the file is still out on both of them, in my opinion. I think but before the Vol fans start running in here and saying that I'm talking bad on them, Tennessee handled its first two opponents better than Georgia did. I'll give them that credit. And
they played a better team in Syracuse for sure.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, they've got the better win right now as well. So, not taking anything away, but both teams are 2-0, and both teams are moving into this game with some interesting expectations. One of the things, Rusty, that's going to define this game, I think, and I want to jump right into it, is where does this injury situation sit ahead of Knoxville? I know that a couple of them will be watching closely. Juan Gaston, obviously. Ernest Green. How does he factor in? Daylon Everett, we saw him last week, so he should be good to go. But I'm just curious, leading into this weekend, Rusty, what's kind of your feel on this thing?
First of all, thank you, everybody, for signing in there, chiming in. I love when you tell me where you're from. This time, I'll do one thing. Tell me where you're from. Give me your score prediction. We can go back in and watch this on this weekend. Maybe somebody hits it right on the spot. But thank you for everybody chiming in this morning. I'm expecting Ernest Green to play. We get to the injury part. And that's big because this is experienced tackle. This guy's played a game in Neyland before. He's played tackle before. He kind of knows what to expect. I think it's a big deal there. I think Juan Gaston is going to be a game time decision. He has done some stuff this week. For as much buzz, Jake, as he's created, and rightfully so, during the offseason, during the times that he has played a little bit. But here's kind of the reality of that, Jake. He's only played two series in a college football game.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of a tall task is he – you know, there's the other part there, too, is, you know, do you want to put a person that's maybe 80% into that right now? Even though he is a very talented football player. So I don't know. I don't get paid that much money to make those decisions. You know, if they were to be able to rest him and just say they get by this game and win, you got an invaluable time frame before Alabama to where you get some more reps for him and those types of things. You know, I know Michael Ooney's played some. I know that Daniel Calhoun played against Marshall some, and those are two big-ass dudes too. But I'm telling you, man, Dontrell Glover, this true freshman from Langston Hughes, I'm telling you right now, we got one good sample size out of him, but this dude's freaking moving people. This dude's coming off the ball, and from talking to people, and I knew him in high school, you know, covered him a little bit, played on a great football team, and just thought he was one of those just nasty offensive linemen. You know, he played tackle there for Langston Hughes, but obviously transitioned to guard on college level. If this guy winds up playing, man, I don't have any hesitation. You know, I've seen enough. Yeah. I think he can hold his own right now. And it's not ideal. It's not ideal to play a true freshman in his first start there, but you know, maybe they start somebody else and put him in if Juan can't go. I just think that Georgia's got some flexibility here. And but I know Kirby Smart's mentality. If Juan Gaston can go and they think he's one of the best five, he's got to go. This game is that important. So I'm not trying to discard that, but I don't think it's one of those super panic mode if he can't play yet. They got some guys that's played decent and well there, and I'm very interested in how that plays out. But I do think Ernest Green's going to play. And as far as the others, a couple of younger guys like Chase Linton, for sure he's out. Obviously, Ethan Barbour is probably out for the year, you know, in my opinion. So, you know, Georgia relatively healthy going into Knoxville on Saturday.
Yeah, that offensive line, I think, gonna hinge around the whole thing. And like you said, two series for Gaston. I said the other day that I could see a situation if Georgia does believe that he is one of the best five, and I do think that they do. They think he's one of the best five. And if they think that he's a full go and he's capable, I could see them putting him out there. However, it's not impossible for me, Rusty, to envision a situation where maybe there's a short leash for a guy like that. They say, look, you're a little banged up. You're not getting it like we need it right now. We're going to put in the more experienced guy. I could see a moment like that being a little much for a guy like who's only played two series in college. And, you know, just kind of taking it kind of series by series with him and saying, all right, look, you know, we got to go with something that's maybe a little bit, maybe the upside's not as high, but the floor is a little higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, all this stuff's going to be game time stuff, and we're going to see some comments there about the Nuggets.
Yeah, about Boogie.
I can't even address that right now. My man is probably going to be an interesting plane ride for him today. So I hope you don't get in trouble in school today. But you know, listen, I talked to very similar people in that building as well. And, you know, on the Juan Gaston thing, I think it's going to be how he moves around. I know he wants to play. I mean, he got down to Jordan, Tennessee really for him. His team is, you know, one of his best friends, Travis Smith from Westlake, went to Tennessee. Georgia was involved with that too. So I know Juan wants to play if he can, and just see how it moves around, how he's feeling up there, because as a mountain of a man, I would like my run game a little better if I'm sitting there with 6'8", 330 sitting in front of me.
Oh, or, no doubt.
Excuse me, 6'8", 360 in front of me.
Yeah, you got to count for that 20 pounds.
Except my man. Let me do my Floyd County math there. Let me help myself out.
No, I think that it's totally possible. In fact, Rusty, I think it's possible we could see up to three of those names that you mentioned. You know,
probably.
I mean, I think that a little bit of a committee almost at right guard. Just kind of see, and that's a feeler thing too. You can say, all right, like who really is doing it while the band's playing? I think that that's important as well. So interested to see that. The Ernest Green thing to me, very huge, especially for the run game. Yes. I think that that's very crucial. And, you know, I think Georgia's going to rely heavily on that. We'll talk a little bit more about the run game here in just a bit. I do want to shout out our friends over at sunheist.com. You can save 20% with code DOGSHQ20. Get over, check them out, man. It's a tremendous product that they have over there. They do total customization. You can build what you want your sunglasses to look like, and that's super cool, man. I mean, you got all kinds of flexibility as to what you want to do. Injected polarization, free returns. You can use the code repeatedly, DOGSHQ20. Use it every time you check out. So if you're looking for some great Christmas gifts, get over and check them out at sunheist.com. Great friends, great customer service, and a great, great product. Also, too, Whataburger real quick. Our friends over there headed into town for Georgia, Kentucky with the food truck. I know Rusty going to be posted up, smashing a little bit of Whataburger. But 10 season, man. They've made their inroads into the state of Georgia. We got two in Athens right now. I know they opened up one, I think, over in the Kennesaw area not too long ago as well. Lines wrapped around the building. Look, people go crazy for Whataburger, and rightfully so, man. You get breakfast anytime you want it. Killer burgers, the jalapeno ketchup, the whole deal, man. Go over, grab yourself some Whataburger, and put them on your schedule for that Georgia-Kentucky weekend. Rusty, moving ahead to the weekend, what are you going to be watching closest against in Georgia, Tennessee? What's kind of the big thing that has your attention?
Just offensively. Look, man, it's no secret, you know, how they attack this team. What do they look like this week? This is obviously a game where you have your kids focus. Again, I said earlier this week, I went to the UMass game last year, and I was like, what in the hell is going on? And a couple weeks later, that team beat Texas. You know, so just kind of flushed Austin Peay, whatever happened there. But this is a big game. Obviously, it's a big game. But offensively, what are they doing there? And I don't necessarily think that Georgia's going to flat out just start airing this thing out. That's not what Gunner's strength is. I think this is, can they run the football? I think they want to run the football, because if Georgia can run the football, they're going to have a really good chance to win this football game. You know, I think this is a totally different – now, we got a million storylines between there. This is a totally different matchup here versus Tennessee than Alabama to me. But this is a game that I think Georgia up front has an advantage. And I think that's on both sides of the ball. And I don't think Tennessee's far off now. Don't get me wrong there. But I do think Tennessee's defensive line is down a little bit from last year. Georgia struggled to run the football last year against them. So Carson Beck winds up having to air it out. He goes for 347. They could not run the football in Tennessee last year. If that happens on Saturday, they're not going to win this football game. So we'll see how that goes this weekend. If Georgia can run the football, they've kind of showed, you know, glimpses, and I love the backs that are moving stuff. I'm interested in all the packages that Georgia has set on, and those things and what they're going to do. I'm pretty confident in this statement that Gunner Stockton will be a part of the run game this weekend. That is part of his package, what he does. And didn't see a ton of it last Saturday, unless it was, you know, the pocket breaking down and Gunner taking off. I mean, I think you're going to see some design runs this week. I think you're going to see some quarterback power this week, get some blockers. Here's just a small nugget. Obviously, they trusted Ethan Barbour. You know, he was a freshman. He was that fullback. He was that H-back. He was that lead blocker. That was his role right now. What are they going to do this week? Who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be that H-back? Because they're going to, when they get in QB power, they're going to have some backs in there. And it ain't going to be, I know this is going to shock you, it ain't going to be Peanut. They're not going to have 175 pounds in there leading in the hole. So, you know, you look at the short yardage game. When it's third and two and you can go quarterback power, you can get two backs in front of Gunner Stockton who can run, who's strong. You know, those things are you know, invaluable, and they haven't shown that yet. So we'll see. We'll see how that little tweaks and those types of things. And, you know, I'm interested too against those two corners. If you're able to run the football, Jake, what happens? Everybody starts creeping up a little bit. You know, does that open up Noah Thomas, Kobe Young, you know, Zachariah Branch? That open those guys up there to take those downfield shots, because you can get those one-on-one battles with some guys that are highly recruited players, but they haven't played a team like Georgia yet. These new starters are going to have a corner.
I was about to ask you that exact question, Rusty. Now, I know you are as familiar with Milton last year as anybody would be. You got to see him a ton of times. C.J. Wiley, Ethan Barbour, Ty Redmond, the corner who has ostensibly taken the reins in Tennessee after an injury to their starter. Freshman out of Milton, former three-star, has been playing very well. Has a very nice grade on the PFF stats, has played significant snaps. To me, that's the big thing. He's played a ton of snaps already this season. Can you give me kind of the scouting report on Ty Redmond, what you saw last year, and then kind of going into this game, what you've seen from him this year in Tennessee?
Doesn't surprise me that he's playing. I mean, he's not you go to Milton, like, you're going to get tested. Justin Miller, my guy there's former Clemson DB, I think Justin ran like 4.3 at the NFL Combine, one of my one of my best friends, kind of high school guys. I talk to him. He helps work my camps. I've known him for a long time, and he coaches those guys hard. You know, he coaches those guys hard. And, you know, this young man came over. He was at St. Francis those first 2 years with Brandon Jacobs and all those guys. I remember being there one day when I went over there to see all those guys, all those prospects they had.
Yeah.
And I remember going over there, and, of course, I'm looking at Brandon Jacobs and all. What was the kid from Grayson? The offensive lineman went to Texas last year. I mean, my am I that old?
No. Keep going, and I'll think of his name.
anyway, he was there, too. I mean, you got guys 6'8", 330 pounds, you know, in high school as a sophomore. And they had all these big guys who said, who's that DB right there? And we start talking about him. And Clemson and Tennessee was there. Yeah, talking about Brooks from Grayson.
Yes, Brooks.
That's appreciate right. you.
Nick Brooks. Nick Brooks.
Nick Brooks. He went to Iowa, came back. That's a thousand kids. Yeah,
that's where I kind of lost him in the trouble.
That's a thousand stories ago for me. But anyway, seeing those guys and those young guys and all that stuff. But you know, I remember seeing him, and it's funny because Willie Martinez was standing right there, and I've known Willie a long time since he was at Georgia. You know, he's at Tennessee now. I look at Willie, I was like, you're on that guy. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, and it was basically Clemson and Tennessee for him. So, you know, I saw him early on, and you start seeing him develop and those types of things. So it doesn't surprise me. You know, there is a difference between high school and college, and he's going to get his first SEC, you know, taste of it. But it doesn't surprise me at all that he has stepped in and not looked way out of place, because at Milton, those kids are challenged. They play big time programs, and there's a reason why, you know, Kirby Smart was on a freaking helicopter last year on a bye week, standing on that sideline. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, does he get a, you know, we haven't seen a ton of CJ Wiley, but does CJ Wiley get some reps this weekend or some play there against, you know, maybe his former teammate?
A guy he might know his tendencies a little bit.
Yeah, right? No doubt. Yeah, no
doubt. They probably went heads up.
They probably taking some reps against each other. You know, that's interesting. You would imagine that Georgia's probably went to him like, hey, you know, what does he struggle with? Like, what did you see in high school? You know, y'all play on 7-on-7 together, those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, Rusty, that's a very crucial element of this game, because as much as we're talking about Juan Gaston and how he might function in a game like this and in this atmosphere, I think we got to look at those young DBs for Tennessee as well and wonder how that factors into this game ultimately. And I understand people who've said, well, we haven't seen a lot of Gunner throwing the ball down the field. This may be a good opportunity for him to do that, because, quite frankly, you were playing against, in most cases, Austin Peay and Marshall, guys who were either transfers or who had been around for a long time and had played a significant amount of college football. This, you've got younger guys kind of playing in what's going to be a much larger atmosphere than they've been a part of to this point, right? That, to me, is going to be, I think, a very, very interesting storyline in this game. How do they handle that? How do those young DBs kind of hold up? And is Gunnar Stockton able to take advantage of that? Do you expect, Rusty, that we're going to see him challenge a little more downfield than we have seen to this point?
Yeah, I think so, because Tennessee's going to play them different. And they're going to obviously play some zone. You'd be crazy not to think that they haven't seen that Georgia – at times that Gunner looks a little impatient, you know what I mean? Like, he either wants to get rid of it or take off running. And you know, but Tennessee, Tim Banks, he's a pressure guy too. Now they're going to play some man-to-man. And, you know, that's where you get the shots down the field. And, you know, they're going to come after Gunner. They're not going to sit there and let him get comfortable. But he'll have opportunities to take shots down the field. He's going to have opportunities. And I'll say this about Gunner now. You know, I have to go back to last year, but you start talking about sample size. You know, he's thrown some good deep balls. You know, he's thrown a couple of deep balls where you're like, okay, that works. You got to set your feet and all those types of things. To me, it's going to be the intermediate throws, those layer throws. I go back and watch the last year's game and a couple of plays that Carson Beck threw those balls to Oscar Delp. Those were perfect throws. You know what I mean? And you got to layer it over a linebacker in front of a safety. One of the touchdown throws was just like – they had a great field view of it, and I was like, damn, how did he throw that, man? But that's what you got to do. You got to see that and trust your arm. And I think the more throws he completes like that, the better he's going to get. I'm not worried about Gunner Stockton's arm. You know, is it Has he got a freaking hose? No, he doesn't. But he's got enough arm there. He's got to anticipate this weekend. He's got to stay within himself, and he's got to play his game.
Interesting question here from Evan Grimes. It says, do you think Dylan Bell can make a big impact tomorrow? I said on the board, to me, if you've been holding back wrinkles, it would be so unsurprising to have Dylan Bell involved in a wrinkle. He is a guy who has that kind of flexibility. And I feel the same way about Peanut, man. I think that there's a chance that those two guys could end up being sort of, you know, we talk about holding back and playing vanilla, right? To me, if you're holding back and playing vanilla, those are the guys that you hold back with because they can do some special things that not everybody can do.
Yeah, I mean, they saw a couple of years ago, Bobo throws a halfback pass with Dylan Bell, basically, for a touchdown. And look, I think Dylan Bell can impact the game. I've made no bones about it. I'd love to see him in the I formation and get the guy a tall sweep on third and three or third and two. I think he's a natural with a ball in his hands a little bit. And Georgia, I think, sees that too. They're trying to get him sometimes, you know, gets that reverse and those types of things. He can catch the ball. You know, he's had times drop. He's also had big games. He's had big games against Tennessee before. So I just think this weekend, man, to me, I want to see Zachariah Branch just turn loose. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they got to just air it out. You got to do what you got to do to win.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that if we're talking about this game on Sunday night, that I say, hey, Zachariah Branch got his seven touches. And that dude hurt Tennessee. That dude made two plays that he was better than anybody else on the field. So interested in that.
Absolutely. Guys, if you're interested in getting into Neyland, now listen, this ain't going to be cheap. All right. I'm not going to lie to you. If you want to go and you need some tickets, gametime.co is the place to go, man. You can get in. Now, I did think, Rusty, this was a pretty damn good deal. $420. You got end zone seats covered, and so that's not. I can live with that. That's fees included as well. So not bad. You can get the get in price is $299. All right. So it's not cheap, but the source for it is gametime.co. They make it seamless, guys. You get a view from every seat. You get the opportunity to get all your fees rolled into one, so you know what you're paying up front. It's the place to go for a seamless ticket experience. And you can use code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. I would guess if you get the $420 ticket, you can probably get the $20 off promo with code ON3. But get over there, check them out. If you're looking to get in this weekend or any weekend, it's game time. And they got you hooked up. All right, the final word, Rusty. We've got our predictions coming out here soon. I mean, let's just. What's your thought on this one, man? How do you see this kind of playing out? I mean, what's Georgia got to do, and what does Georgia have to not do? Also, I think sometimes it's just as important to not do something as it is to have to do something. What's Georgia got to do to handle business in?
I'm going to sound so much damn coach talk here. You can't turn the ball over. You can't give Tennessee extra possessions. You can't give that offense extra possessions. You can't leave your defense on the field. They're going to try to run fast pace on you. And, just play within yourself this week. Find out what you like, what you want, what you do right here. And, I just think just find something, some identity on offense. You know what I mean? I know they're still searching on that. And we're so young into this season, I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think Georgia defensively is going to keep you in this thing. They might give up a play or two here, but even last year, I went back and looked at that game, you know, the first quarter and a half, they really didn't have an answer for Tennessee. It was down 10-0. Tennessee was driving, kind of held them there. And then, made some adjustments, and that was kind of it. You know, they gave up a touchdown right there at the half, made it 17-17. They didn't score again in the second half. I do feel that Georgia has a good pulse on how to play that. Now, will this personnel grouping be able to do that? Because they're going to try to run the football at Georgia. I can promise you that. I've said this stat a couple of times this morning. The last 3 years, Tennessee's had 32 offensive possessions. They've had 4 touchdowns. And that's not good. So does that pattern stay? You know what I mean? Where you're looking at 10, basically 10 possessions, five possessions a half is what you're looking at. You don't want to get into 12 and 13 possessions.
Yeah.
You want to stay in that five possessions per half. If Georgia stays in that five possessions per half for Tennessee, history shows they're in good shape, and that's where you want to be. That means you're moving the ball, you're scoring, doing those things. So I think Georgia's a better team. I do think Tennessee can beat Georgia now, and I do think this is going to be – you know, I know the average is like all the scores was over 14 points, all the wins lately, and Georgia's had a lot of success in Knoxville. I just feel like this is going to be one of those nail biters, and who's going to make a play. But if we're giving a score, I've got Georgia 23-17. I think they're going to have to make some field goals. I think they're going to have to make things count. Joey Aguilar, his first 2 years of App State, so he's a third-year player. He threw 24 interceptions. Now, he did throw like 50 touchdowns. This guy's a gunslinger. I think 46 touchdowns and 24 interceptions. Now, he's going to throw it around, but he'll turn the ball over if you get to him and pressure him. And he has not been pressured this year. He's got no interceptions. He hasn't been sacked one time. You know, and I know that he hasn't played a team like this. He's about to see. You're going to see some length. You're going to see some speed. There'll be times where you're going, is there damn 14 or 15 people on that side of the field? So can they get to him? Can they get one or two turnovers from Joey Aguilar at some point on Saturday? I think Georgia's going to get two. I really do. I think they're going to get a tip ball. I think somebody's going to step in one. They're going to get a strip sack, something like that. But they're not going to sit back. Georgia has not sit back against Josh Heupel. I would say when Tennessee beat Alabama, I think it was 22 or maybe 23, when they beat Alabama up there, and Alabama set in that zone against Hendon Hooker, and he absolutely shredded them for four quarters. I think Georgia's like, we'll never play that, and they're not going to play that Saturday. They're going to come after this kid Saturday, and I think Georgia's going to get to him at some point and have a big turnover late. I got Georgia 23-17.
I love that commentary on getting to him and forcing mistakes. To me, that's where this experienced secondary comes in crucial, man. You've got Dalen Everett, ton of ball under his belt. You've got Daniel Harris. You've got a superstar in the waiting in Ellis Robinson who's ready to break through. You've got DeMello Jones, who's played a lot of snaps already this year. And then you've got on the back end, to me, the guy who is the most crucial piece, KJ Bolden. I think that you kind of turn KJ loose this weekend and say, hey, man, go out there and just make some plays for us. I think that that's huge. I said this about the Georgia-Tennessee matchup. Someone asked me about it, and I said, look, can Tennessee beat Georgia? Absolutely. The way that I hear Georgia fans talk about Alabama is the way that Tennessee should talk about Georgia. They've got to prove that they can do it before you should believe. That's ultimately where I move from. I'm not saying it can't happen. Just like I don't think it's impossible that Georgia can beat Alabama this year or any other year that they play. Yeah. Anybody can beat anybody any given Saturday. But history seems to suggest that Georgia has a recipe for what the Vols have to throw at them. And my score prediction, very similar to yours, actually. I'm going 23-20. Dogs with this one. I think that Pete Woodring, dials up a couple. That would be nice for him too. Really talented kid. But it's going to be a very interesting game. And Rusty, I think regardless of what happens, we're going to be having a much different conversation about Georgia on Sunday. I think we'll know a lot more about this team, the expectations you can have around this team, and where this team ultimately might find itself. One game does not a team make anymore, but I do think that you'll have a little bit better feel than you do from Marshall and Austin P.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, I can tell you this. What is it? September the 12th. By September the 28th, we're going to have a real good pulse. We're going to have a real good pulse of where Georgia is, just bluntly. Okay, and we're about to find out. You got 21 days starting tomorrow that we're about to find out a lot of, or 14 days. We're about to find out a lot about Georgia and kind of where they are right now in this 2025 season.
Absolutely, yeah. When the calendar turns over to October, you'll be real, real in tune with things. Guys, great big matchup coming up this weekend. get over to Dogs HQ. We'll have you covered on all your pregame coverage, all your postgame coverage. We'll have you covered on Sunday with the show again. It's going to be wall to wall, man. And we've got a bye week in between, so we've got time to opine heavily on what happens in this game and also preview what's ahead for the big one next. You can get over, join us for $1 for 7 days. Come hang out with us, man. It's a lot of fun over on the Dog Walk message board. We have a great time over there, and we've got you covered on all things Georgia, Tennessee. There's no question about it. So get over this weekend. Come hang with us, and we will be back with you on Sunday night. Well, I guess you and Roe will be back tomorrow night.
We're going to try tomorrow night, so don't,
If you can keep him out of the ice cream sandwiches out of the Mayfield cooler.
I got to watch that man 4 o'clock post on him. Lord have mercy. Yeah. 4 a.m. or something.
I'll try to send them to you in one piece, all right?
Do that. And a Gatorade or Powerade.
Got it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you after the game and on Sunday night as well. Like I said, get a Dogs HQ and come hang out. Thanks for chilling with us today on Friday. Georgia versus Tennessee. Let's see how it goes.